You're listening to the Rural Advancement Podcast. Rural Advancement provides resources to empower, equip, and encourage rural pastors and churches. Join our community by visiting us at ruraladvancement.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rural Advancement. This is the podcast that is by rural leaders and for rural leaders. It is our goal every single week, week in and week out, to bring you content that is not just spoken to the rural church, but is spoken by people who get it, people who have lived, worked, and ministered in small, out-of-the-way places, and people who understand the immense value of the work that God does there. I am your host, Joe Epley, and this week we're going to continue a two-part conversation. Last week we got to hear the beginning of this conversation with Pastor Steve McVeigh, who is the founder of the Dirt Roads Network, a resource and kind of a cooperative between ministers to help equip pastors in the rural setting. Last week, he began by telling us his own personal journey, as well as sharing some of the tips of revitalization that he learned from his time as pastor in Lamont, Kansas. This week, we're going to dive into what the Dirt Roads Network is, what kind of resources it has offered, and talk about the future of the rural church. What are the challenges? What are we excited about? And ultimately, we're just going to continue to highlight this great resource. So without further ado, let's dive back into the conversation with Steve McVeigh. Let's do this. Because obviously, again, we already know kind of the end of Lamont's story, you know, from these awesome roots. Let's talk about the Dirt Roads Network. You know, you mentioned this thing starting as kind of a resource to rural churches, but what has it grown into? I mean, tell me some of the things you guys do and provide, and kind of how this whole thing has ramped up over the last 6 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we were first envisioning this, one of the things that we really wanted to say to rural America into rural pastors was you matter. Mm. Like most of us are invisible. Many of us are under-resourced. Many of us are frustrated. And there's a sense in which when we do reach out for help, the help can be perceived as insincere, certainly not aware. Like if you got a problem, like Aunt Bertha is on your worship team and she can't sing, yeah, the city answer to that is far different than the country answer.
Yeah, right? That's true. Because the city answer will say, "Oh, we've actually held auditions for our 15 musicians, and we only put the talented ones on there, and we tell the rest that they can maybe develop later, and blah blah blah." And you're going, "Well, if I kick Aunt Bertha off the stage, how does that relationally have impacts in the circle of people she affects and that we talk about?" And like, what's more important? Is it the net of relationships and the saving of face, or is it the ability to sing on a Sunday? It's like, can we turn her mic down and solve a lot of issues relationally? Yeah, it's just the decision process is so different.
It truly is. It truly is. And you articulated that very well. But going from a way of looking at people as asset or liability to am I going to be loyal or disloyal to them would be a way of putting that. And so, yes, the answer is to turn her up in the monitor and down in the gain. And we all know that, right? So, but nonetheless, we wanted to say to rural America, to rural pastors, you matter. We wanted to say to rural congregations, you matter. Yep. And the reason is because your community matters. And once we convince people that we mean it, because we do, this is a calling for me. This isn't, you know, I'm not trying to create a business model here. I am trying to truly help pastors see what I'm trying to say to them. I can then flip those coins over and say, you matter so much that you not doing something to reach your community is not acceptable. Not because I'm trying to hold you to a suburban scorecard, but because who else is going to reach your community? You matter. Yeah. And congregation, you matter too much to be spending all this time worried about what you want rather than how your community is lost. And I mean, we've got drugs, you do realize that suicide rates are the same per capita in the inner city as they are out in the country. Yeah. That spousal abuse is the same per capita. No, I mean, like, if you took all the people in your community that were poor and jammed them into one square mile, we'd call that a ghetto. But because spread out on million-dollar farms, we don't see it, right?
Yeah.
We live in a lost area. We live in an area that needs Jesus. You matter too much to sit on your duff. Now, the thing is, no one should hear that message until they hear that you matter and we care for you, right?
But
So
it is both and eventually.
it is. And so that's what we try to do. We are called to raise up an army of people that see themselves as a missionary. And the word army is supposed to, like, it could envision the wrong thing, but the word army is people on the move, is the idea. So we could say a kingdom force or whatever you want to say, but people who want to move, because that's the other thing. You can't steer a parked car. Like, let's get moving. And so we had envisioned having all of these conferences that, like, okay, let's bring, because I know all sorts of rural speakers all over the
Yeah,
place.
there's some names for sure. Yeah, great guys, writing great books, speaking great places. Yeah.
Oh yeah, like up by you, Glenn Damon. I
Yeah,
mean,
Glenn
there's
Damon's great. Brad Roth has been writing some great stuff. I mean,
He's like
Carl
a
Vaters
little
has been doing a lot with small church stuff. I mean, just really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, Carl refuses to admit that he's a rural guy because he's from California.
He's so
But
funny. I actually we have him on the podcast in a couple of weeks, so I'm very excited for that conversation.
but he's he really gets the small church. He gets that real well. But we had this idea of doing conferences. And so we had this conference in this town. It was a town that Todd Burpo had, like, his little boy, it's like Heaven Is For Real, that town. Yes. It was up in this town of 2000 up in Nebraska, in a place that the National Geographic calls the middle of nowhere, because you're like 3.5 hours from Denver, you're 3.5 hours from Salina. Like, you can't get on a plane, and a real plane, unless you drive 3.5 hours. And we had this conference that went amazingly well. We had Dr. Jeff Clark from the International Mission Board came out, and Crossroads Farm, the youth, really an amazing youth ministry that's based out of Michigan and has spread out beyond that, cooperative youth ministry. We had all these things going. It was an incredible conference. And so then we were going to be in South Carolina at the end of March of 2020. And for some reason, that didn't happen.
Don't know why. I got
2020 brought a
suspicions, but
hold
I
of him.
cannot put my finger on it.
So we took all of our conference material and we put it into, like, these small bite-sized pieces, and started online communities all over the country. And rather than calling them cohorts, we called them cooperatives. All right,
There you go.
because
The
and
great
it's sort of
co-op.
the idea, right? We, like, in a cooperative, it's a flatter level of leadership. We want to be the experts. We want to be the people who ask the right questions and inspire you to find the answers. Because if you've seen one small town, how many small towns have you seen, right?
Exactly one, yep.
So we're going to ask the questions. And so we began to work with cooperatives, and I have cooperatives that have been going ever since.
Oh, wow.
And that just gave us this opportunity to create community. It was forged through COVID, and COVID was so hard. We had really the folks that just quit going to church, the people who switched what church they were going to based on the theological implications of whether or not you wore a mask or not. Then you had the shouting, so we called it the sifting, the shifting, and the shouting. And so the tone of leading rural ministry was different, all of that. We were able to walk people through that. And that just opened all sorts of doors for us. And so today we have we have some full-timers. They're missionaries. They've raised money like missionaries, that work with, like, the Church of the Nazarene, the Global Methodist Church, different denominations. And so we offer these learning communities, and it really is a community. We do a lot of peer mentoring in that. We have a practice called Pastor in the Middle, where pastors share their challenge, and then we speak into
Yeah,
it,
as
we
a
clarify
group, that's
and
really fun.
speak into it. Because most of us don't have staff. I mean,
Yeah,
we,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know,
You
we
think of just the ability to bounce ideas off of people is rare.
Yeah, absolutely. People that get it, right? Like, that
Yeah,
you're in
exactly. Yeah, I can ask anybody for
community.
advice. Yeah, like it's, but are they gonna know exactly what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. We also have done church planting, where we will get, we got this idea from Small Town USA, which is a part of the Vineyard movement. We work with them a lot. And we'll get five or six rural churches together and find a place where they can plant a rural church where there isn't really a gospel expression. We are a Bible believing community, and
yeah.
I know that could be a buzzword, but there are some communities that do not have Bible believing churches.
Right.
What we would consider Bible believing churches, we'll walk down that road some other day, but you know, just the mainline denominations, there's been a lot of stuff going on with that. But each one of them gives the same amount of in terms of a percentage of their income, and
nice.
They commit to that. And so then they're equal partners. So if you have a church of 100 and a church of 40, they're viewed as equal partners
because
they're
both given
the same
10% of their
percentage.
income or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. And so we have these little CPNs, church planning networks, that we do. We do offer an intensive revitalization program. And that is something where we work with congregations, not just pastors. And so that is really where we're headed. We are a part of, you know, the Lilly Foundation is investing a huge amount of
Oh,
money.
yeah, because they do incredible grant work. Yep.
Yeah, they are investing a huge amount of money in rural ministry. And so we are partnering with Wheaton College
Yep.
and what they now call the Rural Church Initiative. We are part of that and are really going to press into revitalization. And I can tell you more about that here in a bit, but that's
Absolutely.
what we're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really incredible. And we will for sure, even at the end of this episode, we'll talk through just kind of the practical where to find you guys and how a pastor gets a hold of the Dirt Roads Network. Because again, this sounds like a phenomenal resource, even just for the peer-to-peer coaching. Again, that's a big part of our organization, Rural Advancement. What you know, my higher ups want to do is the same mission of just like, how are we helping rural people talk to rural people to give wisdom that makes sense? Because nothing's more frustrating than having a boatload of wisdom and then watching it all fall apart. You know, when you go, well, I guess I just kind of barreled through here with the next latest church growth strategy and it didn't work. And it's just like, okay, well, maybe somebody could have helped me see why it wouldn't work, you know? And so, so let's do this. I'm a huge fan of people with perspective, right? I mean, you mentioned that you travel a lot. You are getting to see, and obviously, again, we've already established pretty well that you can't just reduce these small towns to a formula. It's impossible. One of the fundamental building blocks of rural ministry is like, hey, each town's unique. Each way the church engages is unique. However, you have seen a lot of those unique churches, and so I guess some of my questions is you know, we'll do the classic two sides of the coin. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing rural America or the rural church specifically? And what do you think is our greatest asset as the rural church? What do you think is our greatest answer to the challenges that we face? You know, and you can, I mean, might be that these are obvious answers. I'm not sure, but I'm excited to hear your perspective. So let's start with the negative. Let's go to the positive, you know?
Yeah, the biggest, to say something is the biggest challenge, it would require a deep dive, and for me to just sit in silence for a while. But
sure.
I think one of the more obvious things is that we have so many small congregations that for a lot of times, most likely really good reasons, made decisions 30 and 40 years ago that they are reaping the harvest from now. And so you have congregations that have not effectively reached young generations.
Sure.
And so there are a lot of, like, as you drive across the country, and I do a lot of driving because most of the churches that I do minister to are at
are
least
not by major airports.
Yeah. For me to fly somewhere usually means I'm driving 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, 2 hours. It's 2 hours for me to get to the Kansas City airport from here. But you'll drive through and you'll see these churches that really they lost vibrancy a long time ago. They really are not reaching young people. And there's reasons for that. They've made, and I'm not going to bring judgment to that, but that's where they are.
Yeah.
And the reality is that there's delayed maintenance. There's other things that you see. And what they really are is they're one financial disaster away from just having to close.
Sure.
And the lostness, the type of lostness that we have is not just that traditional nuclear family that the traditional church was rigged to reach.
Sure.
We have lots of transients.
Mm-hmm.
We have migrant folks who are there for jobs. We have so the average, like you get in the average church, they would know that down on the corner, that's the Smith House. But the reality is that the Smiths left 30 years ago, and we do not know the 10 to 12 families that have lived there. Because like here in Madison, where my office is, you can rent out a house that's about the size of a three-car garage for $300, which sounds really good to get here. And you realize that you're 25 minutes away from a Walmart when you're in Madison. You have to have a car. It's a different kind of culture. And so you stay there until they kick you out, and then you go to some other small town. And the church is just like you see what you expect to see. So that you see your group. And so most of the churches that I am in, a community will have three or four different socioeconomic types, and that church will be white landowners who have good jobs or had jobs and just no missional mindset whatsoever. And so that is one of the biggest challenges that I really see. And then the discouragement that goes with that. I should read to you from a booklet. I wrote an article for this fundraising thing I'm doing, where I talk about how most of our we live in a poverty mindset in many of our small communities, and our congregations have adopted that same mindset. That they're as under-resourced, as isolated, and so they're not offering hope. We believe every community deserves a life-giving, Bible-believing, community-transforming church. You'll see that on our website, right? That's what we want to see. On the positive side, so that sounds very discouraging. On the positive side, throughout the history of our country, renewal and spiritual awakenings have started in the country, not in the city. And we are seeing a stirring of Holy Spirit. I mean, when you drive around the countryside, what you're going to see is that there are a lot of churches that are about to close. There are a lot of, challenges that I've already articulated. And then you'll come across this vibrant community that has made hard decisions, and they have reached out into their community. And they are growing, they have kids, they have teens. And it's not that they're perfect, but there is a fresh move of the spirit. And what I would say is that the harvest field is white unto harvest, like churches that would be willing to reach migrant communities, churches that are willing to reach out to those who have problem, like recovery ministry in small town America is a
It's
huge
huge.
deal. And ministering to families who have, addicts. I mean, there's so many, any church, and I don't care the age of the people, any church that decides that they're going to actively engage their community will find that they're in a community full of needs, and that if they're willing to take what they have in their hand and use it, that God will use it. I mean, I'm just like, you matter too much to just sit there, right? Okay, here I'm going to get out my bandbox again.
Yeah, I really like that. Even on your challenge side, I like that you kind of take us back to the history of a place. And I think as a pastor, it's a huge encouragement to familiarize yourself with rural history, because it's like you said, in a lot of these churches, there was a point, and it's not always felt in the in those words, but there was a point where the dynamic shifted, where the momentum shifted, where the priorities shifted, where the money shifted, and like you go back to that point and you will start to see what the church lost and what where the mission drifted and where the discouragement took over. And it's like, well, then let's heal that spot and then keep moving forward. But even on the plus side, I'm highly encouraged. Like again, it's I think it's in my brain, there's a lot of convincing of like, well, are there needs? What are those needs? And you're saying, hey, I promise you, it's almost like picking low-hanging fruit. You're like, I promise you, like if you even get up and try, you will find ways to meet needs. And like that is an encouraging message to hear that like there is that much opportunity in your perspective, you know?
Absolutely. And just adopt a mentality that says, dream big, start small, start now. So, if the biggest need in your community is childcare, and your church can't pull off,
Yeah,
like a
40-person
full
nursery or
childcare,
whatever,
Do you have a family that could start babysitting one or two families and do it for Jesus and then see if that can grow from there into something like dream big, start small, start now, and let the Holy Spirit guide you into what that is. And yes, I think it's important to find out. We have to know what our community needs, but also what assets do we really have in the church? I mean, like, do I believe that Jesus has put in our congregation what we need to accomplish our mission?
Well, it depends. Do we believe in Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Like it's true. It's like, do we see this, you know? Man, that's huge. Another question for you. And again, this might dive into some of the stuff we've already touched on. We're kind of coming to a good spot in our conversation. We'll begin to close. But my question for you is this: when you look ahead at the future of Rural Church, what makes you most excited? What do you think is just your favorite thing about what's coming down the pipe? Because again, I think there is a counter narrative that runs constantly of all the reasons we should be sad about the Rural Church. Like there's that constant perception and culture of like, wow, what's really happening there anyways? But I want to hear, when you look down to the future of the Rural Church, what are you excited about?
Well, let me tell you what we're doing next.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
I do
excited
believe
about it.
this is what we believe, like, is from lots of experience, 5 years of really pressing hard into this. The average small church is led by a shepherd teacher. And shepherd teachers are wonderful, needed people. But what I'd like you to think about is the advancement of the gospel in terms of like an arrow, okay? And so if you imagine an arrow and go to Ephesians 4, where it talks about not offices, I'm not like theologically promoting anything here,
Sure.
just
You don't want to be called Apostle Steve McVeigh. I
right.
get it.
I
I
do
get it.
not. I do not.
I will call you the more humble title of Pope. Okay, it'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, that's
Just
yeah, very much, yeah.
kidding.
So you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd, teachers. Okay. So if you imagine an arrow, the apostle, prophet, evangelist would be like the arrowhead. All right. And because they're about taking new ground, right?
It's a
Then
very
the
they're the
shepherd.
aggressive part of the body cry, like, let's
That's
go, you know.
exactly right. You think about shepherd teachers, you think of the fletchings, and they offer direction to the arrowhead.
Stability, if you will.
Absolutely. You cannot do any like unless those two are connected, they're not effective. Okay? And what are they connected by? Well, the lordship of Christ and mutual submission. And love. Like, there's no place in the New Testament that talks about spiritual gifts that isn't first started with a discussion about love or like second or First Corinthians 12,
Yeah, the
First
classic, right?
Corinthians
12 and 14 are all about gifts. 13 is like, let's tie it all together with love.
So here's what we're convinced of. There are apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic type people in our congregations who have sort of been stifled by shepherds. Because, like, if you ask a shepherd about, like, find a passage about sheep, and they're going to find, like, Jesus saying, feed my sheep, or you're going to go to, like, Acts 20, the Apostle Paul saying, ferocious wolves are going to come, and so protect the sheep. But if you ask an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist to find a passage about sheep, they might go to where Jesus says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, right?
Oh,
So,
sure.
what we want to do is we are gonna like the thing that we're doing with Wheaton College. We're putting together a ministry tool that will be a comprehensive long-term ministry tool for revitalization, where we're teaching congregations how to do church differently, not just better, not just like the past, is we want to get down into the congregation, identify the apostle, prophet, evangelistic types, and teach shepherd teachers to equip them and send them, because like we would train these shepherd teachers in our cooperatives, and then we would interview like the church, and the shepherd teacher is so concerned about not upsetting anyone that they would literally dilute our teaching to where it didn't matter, like being a missionary. Well, because the shepherd teacher doesn't want to take risk. But there are people in the congregation. It's right there. And so if we can plant the leadership a little bit and offer encouragement to them, teach them to love. So what we believe is that there are all sorts of there's incredibly resourceful. Like, if you've survived in the country, you are resourceful, you are resilient, you know how. So if we as Shepherd teachers can equip and send out, if we can be rivers rather than lakes, if we can be a little more risky, there's tremendous potential in the congregations of rural America.
Wow. Man, well, before we close this podcast, I do have to ask, in a very official way, when it comes to the Dirt Roads Network, what's the best way for an average pastor to get a hold of you guys, to start looking at your programming, to even sign up for whatever it is you offer? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, real quick, if you go to dirtroadsnetwork.com, I suppose it should say .org, but when we started all
Yeah,
those years ago,
nah,
we
who cares?
.com, we didn't know the difference. But dirtroadsnetwork.com, there's an explanation of things like our church planting networks, our cooperatives, some of the different learning communities we offer, and there are forms that you can sign up there, become a part of an email list. You can reach out to us directly, just office at dirtroadsnetwork.com. There's telephone numbers there, but you can connect to us and we can make you aware of when those openings are. If you're interested, like, we're going to be doing this 3-year program with Lily. If you're interested in being a part of that, you can reach out to us and we can keep you updated on that. We're looking, I want to take in the end 1,000 churches through this, but we're going to start with 40.
Sure.
So,
Again, dream big, start small, start now. Love it. Living your
exactly. Yeah.
message, Pastor Steve.
Yeah. Hey, that's yeah. Hey, the other thing I would say, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly until you get it right. Just for the record, like, let's quit being so timid in rural ministry, right? Let's get out, like, let's get out there and do some new things. But yeah, connect to us through the website and through those emails and the email addresses that are listed there, the telephone numbers. And if you're interested, we can help you. And the other thing, we're more than happy to point people to other rural ministry too. Rural ministry, we're all underdogs, right? So we have to help each other.
Yeah, it's
So
true. Without everybody, it's going to be really hard.
yeah, that's exactly right. So we also do a pretty good job of pointing folks in directions too, that, like, if we can't serve you, we're not going to pretend that we can. So
For sure. Well, we will have that link in the show notes, dirtroadsnetwork.com. And Pastor Steve, I just want to say thank you for being on the show today. This has been a delightful and enlightening conversation. It's just been a lot of fun.
well, thank you for having me. I'm anxious to learn more about what you guys are doing. And honestly, rural America is a mission field, and we are all on mission.
Amen. Well, from all of us at Rural Advancement, we just want to say again, we hope that you're leaving a podcast like this encouraged and empowered. Again, we really strive not to just speak to what you're going through, but to have that spoken by people who understand, people who are not given armchair advice, but are really living out the same walk that you are in the same place as you are. Again, in a very formal way, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave a rating and review. We have ruraladvancement.com. But true to rural form, the best way for this podcast to spread is just word of mouth. One rural leader looking at another and saying, hey, we've got a set of conversations I think you should really hear. But for this week, I've been your host, Joe Epley. He has been Pastor Steve McVeigh, and we'll see you next week.